As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Nerd talk, yeah! Hey there, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor, and he's been a managing editor here at Odyssey, and now just a guy making jokes on Twitter for free. He's Brandon from the internet.
Gosh, I haven't even been on Twitter that much lately, and then I do go on Twitter and I look at people's awful graphic design.
Looking at you, MLS.
Yeah. Multiple listing service.
No, not you.
No.
Hey, if you could do us, first of all, neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain.
Not yet.
But if you are, let us know what we get wrong. Somebody was like coming at me the other day about something like this, where I was like calling them out for being not knowing what they were talking about with COVID. And then they were like, they said something back to me. And I was like, I literally have a line in a show that I do about stuff I don't understand, being like, I don't understand it. This is just our takes on it. And we're open to it. And he was like, wow. Okay, I stand corrected. So
yeah,
I stand good about that stance. Yeah,
we just put at the top of our show the "I'm just kidding, bro," so that way by the end of it, people can't come at us.
But it's better than that. We're like, yo, we're dumb,
yeah,
bro.
True.
People are like, yeah, okay, I can get there.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, you can share it with a friend or tell someone else or like our social media or whatever. That would be totally awesome. Thanks so much for your support and making this thing as big as it is. Yeah. So one thing that you could do is participate with us weekly. Take, for instance, the question of the week.
Yeah, question of the week. If you have an answer to this week's question of the week, hit us up on Twitter. Go find us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts and hit us up with the answer. Leave us a 5-star review, obviously. But this week's question of the week, I'm actually very, very curious to hear people's responses to, because I think it's going to be a much more relevant conversation in the world in the coming years, especially now that I've seen a few videos on the internet over the last week that freaking me the hell out. Okay, so yeah. This week's question of the week is, what do you know that without a doubt you are better at than a robot?
Robot comes to take your job, and that's the job they can't take because you are so good at chopping
on whatever.
Carrots very small. Yeah.
Yeah. I guarantee a robot can do that better. Yeah. bad example. No, like breathing with human lungs, for example, would be something that you're better at than a robot. But that's like a boring thing, right?
Not for long.
Well,
I mean,
there are, like, when somebody loses their lung capacity and we send them to the hospital, what do? We connect them to a robot to breathe for them.
Just saying.
So this
week, the list of the most used emojis for 2021 came out. Smiling face with tears of joy, which is the ultimate kind of LOL emoji that people use. It's once again the most used emoji for 2021, something that has been the case since 2017.
Wow.
You know, somebody told me that kids don't use this emoji because it's what us olds do. And it's probably, they're probably right about that. It accounts for 5% of all emoji use overall. And you think about, like, kids don't use Facebook because all the old people are on it. I feel like old people use this emoji a lot. I'm going to ask you here in a second to get out your phone and pull up your most used emojis, because I would love to know what they are.
Uh-huh.
But I guess I'm not surprised because that's the one I see all the time. It is not the one I use the most, but it's in there. It's in my arsenal.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. The most recent in my frequently use is laughing face with crying tears. But I feel like this is my most recent emojis that I've used.
So just tell me your last five then.
All right. My last five are crying face emoji, noodle emoji, or it's like spaghetti because I posted something about my dog and called him a noodle horse, and I posted it because he's a greyhound, and I think that's funny. I have a humpback whale emoji, so in case you didn't,
no one is surprised.
In case you didn't think I was going to bring in some whale talk, and then I have a eggplant emoji.
So that's to my point. You can see what I wrote here. I said, where does the eggplant rank? Because I feel like that gets used a lot, and I don't know if they would ever admit it or not, but yeah.
See, dude, I wonder, really. So, okay, I bet you, this is my theory with this, like, smiling face with tears of joy emoji, okay? My theory is that as millennials, because you're saying that, like, the Gen Zs don't use this, right? These kids that are younger than us. As millennials, I feel like millennials are super insecure about everything, right? So a millennial will send something, and they want to be very clear to the receiver of that message that it's meant to be funny, or it's meant to be embarrassing, or it's meant to be, so they have to send the emoji that qualifies the thing that they just said. I think Gen Z, as weird as they are, is just much more comfortable with their digital communication because they grew up with it, right? So they don't need to qualify everything with the corresponding emoji that lets people know that they, oh, I was just kidding, bro.
It's tough because I feel like that true communication, like the written word, you can use the right words to communicate what you need, but we're too lazy to do that. So we fill in with these emojis to drive home the point that we are just kidding rather than like saying something actually witty. And like, I doubt that you would write a letter to somebody and a week later it would get to them, and that then there would... I doubt there was as much second guessing as we have now, where you get to go, well, what the hell is this all about?
Sure,
like, well, no, it's just lost in tone, bro. If we were on the phone, you would know that I was kidding. Because we're just better with the written word. And now that we're devolving back into preparing ourselves to be enslaved by the pharaoh to build the pyramid because we can't communicate well enough to actually put up any resistance, like, we're just headed right back towards that with the help of our devices and our phone that can show us boobs or whatever.
Or whatever. I remember...
Eggplants.
Eggplants, obviously. I think I remember back when, like, AOL Instant Messenger was a thing, and all of those... Like, I was in middle school and using that all the time to talk to my friends. And I remember this girl that I was into, her and I were messaging on AOL and on AIM. And I remember that at the time I was typing. I wasn't using any of the abbreviations. I was typing everything out. I was capitalizing. I was using sentence case, where I was capitalizing the first word at the beginning of a sentence, and I was using punctuation. Mm-hmm. And I remember this girl that I was into like called me out. She was like, "Why do you use commas and periods and punctuation?" And then that's, I feel like, when I started to devolve into where I am now at 30 years old, using the crying face.
You're like,
with
"Why
laughing
are you
tears.
Such a?"
Yeah. I should send her a message right now that is just the, hey, do you remember that thing that you did that ruined my entire written word for the last 20 years of my life? And then send crying laughing face emoji.
I make a lot of shortcuts in my phone. I still like actual text emojis too, like just the colon.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Parentheses. Like, yeah. I just like a cute smiley face or whatever. Let me say mine real quick. Mine are the... It's the nervous one, like the open mouth smile with the one tear over the eye.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, like the, oops, oh, my bad, or whatever. Or that's food is too spicy, I guess, could also be what that means. I use the shrug a lot, but I like the text shrug. So I have a shortcut set up on my phone that if I type shrug, it does the one that uses like Korean characters.
I love that. Yeah.
That's awesome. And a lot of like blowing... like hearts to my wife who does not approve, and then a black cat for our black cat, and a wave a lot. So and then the one where it's like that, where the mouth goes across, you see all the teeth, like ooh, that
like
one.
I just watched The Office emoji.
Yeah, right. And then let me just see if I could do this here for you, Brandon. This is just gonna be very inside, but if I type HJ's
I know what's coming. Absolutely, I know what's coming.
I set that up. I was like, we just got back from snowboarding, and I don't snowboard. I was bored all day. I had to go as a chaperone. They sent me, as opposed to someone who snowboards, up to Stevens, and I just sat there all day, just like donking around on my phone. Yeah. And then I was just texting every single person I have. I would just type HJs and hit send and just see what kind of responses I would get from people. It was such a fun day. Now, that would be sexual harassment, I believe. And I get it. I'm not better than admitting that.
So, I actually, you brought something up. So, you said that the one face with the, I have a fun game idea for everybody, okay? And I think that, go ahead and profit off of this and just make sure to credit Nerd Talk. So,
Odyssey Communications does not agree with you feeling free to profit off of this. I guarantee you. Do not feel free to profit off this.
I work here for free. So you mentioned.
I didn't say they mind profiting off of you.
Oh, absolutely no.
Just not the other way around.
You mentioned one of the emojis that is your most common. You said it's kind of like the embarrassed one, right? Where it's the face with the teardrop kind of coming down, or the sweat, right?
Yeah. And it's always me. It's what I type when I feel like an idiot, where I'm like, oh, I've been saying this wrong my whole life.
So you mentioned that could have been the I ate too much spicy food emoji, right? Or like you talked about the grimacing emoji, where not grimace, the big purple creature from McDonald's, but the grimace, which he deserves an emoji if you ask me. Oh, wow, look at that. So the grimace emoji is where somebody is, they're making that big wide tooth not
smile. It's like a harmonica in front of a yellow circle.
And I called that the face that you make when you are watching The Office because of the amount of secondhand embarrassment. That reminds me of a game that I play with, or I used to play with my friends and would love to play again. We call it subjective guess who. Okay, so you take the game of guess who, and if you haven't played this game before, you have a bunch of pictures of cartoon characters on little flip boards in front of you. Your opponent has the same characters on their side, right? And so usually what you would say is, does your person have red hair? And they would say no, and they would flip down all
or
the
yes.
Or yes, and you would flip down everybody that doesn't have red hair. The way that we play this game is, you would say, does your person look like they were bullied in school? And the other person would, based on their subjective, understanding of what their person is they'll say yes or no. But you have to see if your subjectivity is the same. And so the goal is to see if you can get to that final person that's the same as your opponent.
And we're talking about with emojis.
Right. Yeah, well, so this is what I'm saying, is like, I would love to play that, but with emojis. So it's like, this is the face you make when you've eaten too much spicy food, and then see what people put as the emoji. Or this is the face that you get when you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, or like some show, right? Or The Office or something like that. Like,
here's what you get when you type HJs into Gregor's phone.
Yeah. Yeah, what emojis, what two emojis do you think Gregor uses?
Nope. Yeah, that's interesting, because I think that on a deeper level, or a more provocative level perhaps, that you would start to realize that, like, wait, what was the thing that I got super pissed at Casey McClain about, because he was being mean to me about it? It was the comedian, and it was like SM, it was like shake my head.
SMH, yeah. Shaking my head.
And I was like, yeah, shaking my head, and I thought it was I thought it was something else, and I was like, well, it still works, and you're like, no, but you're wrong, and I was like, well, I'm not wrong, because to me that's what it is, and it works. And I was like, but that's not the accepted thing that everyone does,
it reveals
that people look at these characters, they're just representations of ideas, and that even though you think they're very clearly communicated, they could be just different. So one of the things that in the study that, again, back to the top emojis of the year for 2021, you can read about it at TheVerge.com. One of the things that they talk about is how the very standard basic ass two dots smiley face is not a positive emoji, despite the fact that if your grandma puts it on the end of a thing, you're like, cute, grandma learned how to use emojis or whatever.
Yeah.
That's great. But like, for the most part, it's to show you that you're a simpleton, that you're a basic bitch or something like that. And that you should avoid. And I was like, wait, what? And like, I don't care about any of that. I try to use words instead of just little,
sure.
Little, what do you call it? The hieroglyphs.
Yeah.
And so, but like, playing that game, you could reveal, like, oh, was that person bullied as a kid? And you're like, if I'm like, yeah. And
yeah.
but we don't get to the same conclusion. It could be way off track because of that. And you realize how much these characters hinder our communication.
Well, and I feel like you could, if you were playing and looking back on subjective Guess Who, I still think it holds up to this day. Like, Guess Who should be played that way because it makes it, as for kids, right? It's a good way for them to learn different characteristics, right? Colors, mm-hmm. you know, character, like glasses, things like that. It helps kids understand that stuff. But as you get to an adult, like, that game has lasting power, but it also could reveal some very inherent biases. Like, does your person look like they're a racist? And you see which people they put down and you'd be like, interesting, right? Like, you start to learn, like, oh, this person put down everybody that looks like a cop. Very interesting.
Well, yeah, and you'd start to be like, wait a second, how well do I know this friend of mine?
Exactly, like, yeah.
What's going on here? Like,
basically.
Maybe I don't want to hang out with old Dale. Dale's a made-up person. I don't
Yeah, sure, sure. He's a made-up person. Also my brother. But yeah, made-up person.
You have a brother named Dale?
No, I thought you had a brother named
Dale. Oh, wow. No, I don't have a... It's not Catholic enough. You get out of here.
Sorry, I forgot about Timothy, Paul, and Jonathan, your brothers. Did I get any of those right?
Michael is the closest Catholic.
I mean, that
one.
Was pretty close. Yeah, all right.
Scott Andrew is the other one, so there we go.
Scott.
So... I want to know if there's enough emojis to tell the story of the honeybees that outlived an active volcano eruption in the Canary Islands. First of all, no idea where the Canary Islands are. I know that my brother Michael has been there as some sort of trip or something like that. I don't know, for a getaway. It's like a paradise, I guess. Sort of like if you were going to Hawaii here, I guess that might be the same for Europe. Again, no idea where it is.
So you're saying,
didn't bother Googling.
So either. You're saying that the place... where the bees survived a active volcano is a vacation spot?
Yeah, I think so.
Sounds worse than Australia.
Well, I mean, I think that they have bees on Hawaii and active volcanoes, right?
Sure, yeah, I mean, and it's still nice there.
Whoa, they're off the coast of Morocco. To the west of Morocco are the Canary Islands. And I think that they're like one of the colonized islands of like
sure,
Spain,
yeah,
I think is what
yeah,
it is,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... to the point, these bees survived an active volcanic eruption. Gizmodo reports that 5 different beehives sealed up their own colonies with bee glue, whatever the hell that is, and lived off their honey reserves for almost 2 months Whoa. During that active volcanic activity. I'm like, yo, should we get some bee glue to start working our own houses against the fires that are inevitably going to intensify in the next forever?
I why not just use horses? Aren't we already using them for that? For the glue, I mean.
You read about that horse that won the Kentucky Derby that fell over dead today?
No, I did not hear about that.
You might be protecting your house with it in the near future. I don't know.
Well, so I think about how, like, you know, they say that nature finds a way. These animals find different ways, or not animal, but like these insects, these creatures find different ways to survive crazy events. And we've talked about on this show before about how so much of human discovery and discovery for our own medical purposes and research purposes come from things that we discover in the natural world, right? Like we talked about condors asexually reproducing on this show and how that may, I mean, who knows, is theoretically, that may be a way for humans to like research that more and figure out how we could asexually reproduce, I suppose, in the same way.
Fingers crossed.
These bees have learned how to outlive an active volcano. They've used their own...
We now go live to 22-year-old Greg.
I want to know how... asexually reproducing, or at least trying very hard. 22-year-old. Who are you kidding? We now go
you
live to
me.
Greg a couple days
me.
Ago. Covering himself in bee glue.
Careful, buddy. You're revealing your own secrets there.
But I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, like these. But then, all right. So you got bees on the Canary Island, being freaking architects, finding ways to fight lava, and then you have bees in like the Pacific Northwest, or more likely, murder hornets that are just destroying all of the other bees. So yeah. We need the Canary Island bees to come teach the bees of the Pacific Northwest, where we are located, to learn how to, I don't know, secure their hives with their own glue, their booty glue.
Bee glue, yeah. So not all the honeybees on La Palma, which is where it happened, were as lucky, though. Again, says Gizmodo.com. The Spanish news agency EFE reported that a group of hives closest to the Cumbre Vieja's main cone had been covered completely by lava, which killed them.
I mean, these aren't like lava-resistant bees.
Yeah, or glue.
Or glue, I guess, yeah.
But if those ever happen, I will signal in the new era of life on Earth. Yeah. Lava-resistant bees are here?
Can we replace the... It's no longer when pigs fly. It's yeah, well, when bees can resist lava.
Exactly. You see?
Hey, go hang out with all those like hyena bones.
I'm not afraid of bees, and I mean, I don't like them flying in my face or whatever, but I'm not afraid of bees, and I'm also just really blown away by how cool they are. Their language is insane, and it's communicated through dance, which is a big subject in my household. So it's, the fact that they like know how to intuitively protect themselves against disaster that exists in their own region, that's pretty rad. It speaks a lot. So,
yeah, bees are freaking crazy. Now, I'm not scared of bees. Would I be scared of a bee who was recently survived a volcanic eruption and it was covered in lava flying toward me? Yeah, I think I'd be a little bit upset. Sure. Yeah.
That being said, I am terrified of hornets. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too.
I do have limits. But. Yeah. So I know how our culture for like the last 10 years has been like digging up the things we loved as kids. It's mainly the proliferation of the pocket internet, but digging up the things that we loved as kids and then letting us love them again as adults, only a little bit more grown up, and anything from rebooting Thundercats to any of the Marvel Universe or whatever.
Pikachu has an anatomically correct penis now.
I did not know that, but...
He doesn't.
Okay.
I was just trying to make kids' things more adult.
There was a huge controversy over whether he was cut or uncut. But I think that we've... I think we've gotten kind of a little weird with it now. Not that what I just said wasn't weird.
I was going to say.
You can now buy the kids' classic Fisher-Price rotary telephone. It's like an icon of children. It looks like a little... It looks like the old school telephone that if you hit a guy with it, they would die because it like had that ringer bell inside of it and everything.
Yeah.
You pick up the handle, it's got the twirly cord that goes back to it. Beep, bop, boop,
yeah,
beep,
it's like
beep,
Batman's. Or it's Batman's hotline, right?
Yeah,
Adam
exactly.
Adam West Batman.
Yeah. And so this one, though, had little eyes on it and wheels so kids could roll it around and boop, boop, beep, make noises and stuff. And yeah, okay, cool. Well, they've brought it back for apparently adults that you can now connect your smartphone via Bluetooth.
Why?
So that means you could be like sitting at your work from home office where you're totally taking your job slash life seriously and take work calls from a toddler's plastic phone, if that's something you're into. It's a Best Buy exclusive, sold out currently, but coming back, don't worry.
So apparently people are into it.
$60
What?
For this. Yeah, like, I feel like I know Kev, my buddy Kev Doy has a 3D printer, and I could get him to make me a handle that I could hook up to my phone and feel like a real like that.
I feel like there was for sure a time in my life where I got super caught up in, like, the gimmicky stuff, right? Like, stuff that I knew... I thought would be cool, ended up being clutter. It ended up at Goodwill probably 5 to 10 years later after I got married and my wife was like, what the hell is this?
I'm sorry. You mean this thing that I bought literally today?
Oh my gosh. It's a Ahsoka Tano Funko. Yeah.
I get it.
So I still have things like that, right? But I just don't know if I could justify something like a fish. Like, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna take a business call on my plastic, you know, multicolored rotary phone, and then I'm going to go out and cook on my one of the easy bake ovens, but it's real now.
And like, yeah, you have it in like your office there. It's like you're on the phone, you're like, ding. Yeah. Like, oh, excuse me, hold on, my cookies are done.
Yeah. What did you make?
No, they're weed cookies, boss. Don't worry. I'm an adult now. They're legal here.
Yeah. So I just don't I don't know. But I mean, you said they're sold out. So I guess like this is a thing. Like there are still people pulling, like buying into the gimmicky stuff. And I guess I just, I don't know. I've got a kid on the way. I'm worried about how much crap is in my house as it is. I don't need more junk. So maybe a bunch of kidless people.
Yeah, it's awful. The proliferation of stuff you don't need is just off the charts. And then, like, it all just gets kind of stowed away because you're just, like, transitioning. Like, oh, look, they just discovered something. My pediatrician, our pediatrician for our child, told us that the entire thing about parenthood is that you're always a step behind because they figure something out and you haven't figured out that they figured it out. And so once you figure it out that they figured it out, they figured out something else. And so you're just always catching up all the time. And so that means a lot of the crap that you get, like, you don't need it anymore, but it sticks around because you're like, well, maybe they'll still use it. And then, like, before you know it, your whole house is taken over.
Yeah.
And you'd be better. In my opinion, it would be better to live in a 2-bedroom apartment in the city where you can't have stuff.
Yeah.
Where you have to just get rid of it unless you're clearly willing to be a hoarder. And, like, I feel like I'm borderline there. Like, we're pretty close.
He says, as he sets his Ahsoka Tano Funko next to his baby Yoda or Grogu.
Please, next to my Boba Fett, obviously. Yeah, obviously. Or whatever the Mandalorian guy is.
Yeah.
That's actually, to be fair, it's actually next to Ichiro Suzuki.
Oh, dude, that's class. That's really nice. I love that.
Come on. Shout out to the Mariners for sending that over.
Oh, man.
This is wild from GeekWire.com. University of Washington researchers are going to test psilocybin in healthcare workers affected by the pandemic.
What?
And I'm like, I've never, what?
So you're talking about mushrooms, like magic mushrooms. Like they're going to give mushrooms.
Yeah, translation.
Yeah.
UW is going to give distressed people magic mushrooms to help them break through the last 2 years of overload and trauma.
I feel like I just read about the fact that they had, the FDA had not legalized the use of mushrooms, obviously, but they had legalized the testing of psilocybin on people. So UW could take it and try to see if they can, find some information about, like, PTSD or things like that, or trauma.
I don't pretend to have the details worked out on this yet, but in Oregon, they passed they've made it medically, like, psilocybin treatment is medically available starting, I think, January 1st of this year, of 2022. So people can, they haven't figured out how they're going to do it yet, to administer it and how to monitor it.
Sure.
But what do you call mushroom culture? I forget what it is. Like, there's, like, the ology of mushrooms.
Yeah,
whatever that is.
Yeah.
Mycology, I think, is what it is. That's, like, the biggest place in the world for that is Oregon. So it makes sense. But at the same time, you're going to be able to go to a psychiatrist, I presume, and be able to have a controlled session where you're given psilocybin or whatever other active ingredients are in some magic mushrooms and be able to work through a therapy session.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're looking at here at the University of Washington, is to be able to help people legitimately tackle all these pressures and let go of some of those things.
Well,
this is wild. I think that this is absolutely bonkers. And, like, even if it only stays on a medical level, that's, like, I can't believe it.
Well, so you talk about things like the treatment of psychedelics for people who have experienced trauma, right? Mm-hmm. And what I'm assuming that UW is doing is taking trace amounts of that psilocybin material, like the hallucinogenic aspect of the magic mushrooms, right? And administering to that people however they do. Maybe it's in a nice tasty tea or something like that. Now, what I think is interesting is that people have also found, and I'm not one of these, like, well, we don't have to get into it, but, like, Bitcoin bros in Silicon Valley who microdoses, which is basically taking small amounts, like trace amounts of the psilocybin, using it because they think that it, or they've shown to be helping people with productivity, with their creativity in their work, with their ability to do their work differently. I don't think that there's any doubt at this point, as they're showing in Oregon, as they're showing in the fact that UW is going to be testing this on or researching its effect on people who have experienced trauma, right? Like, which are these healthcare workers who have been working through a pandemic. I'm assuming that that's what they're looking for, is, like, traumatic experiences, correct? There's no doubt that that this type of treatment has benefits. They've shown it time and time again.
From the GeekWire.com article, they're talking to someone from the University of Washington, a physician called Anthony Back, and he says there's just a ton of grief from watching all these people die in front of them, who died in a very physically uncomfortable way. There's a lot of moral injury, feeling that they didn't do enough. A lot of them feel really badly that people's families were not able to be with them because of COVID isolation procedures. People who scream at you and say that you're lying to them, COVID is a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's,
I mean, these people are going through, I think often people will assume that post-traumatic stress disorder is something that is specifically reserved for people who have gone through war or massive traumatic events that are traumatic to everybody. But you don't realize that trauma exists within everybody. And, you know, in some way, shape, or form, in healthcare workers, along with, like, realistically, so many people who have lived through this pandemic, right? You, me, people listening right now, have gone through this, and hey, maybe we just all need to do mushrooms together and walk through the woods.
Well, it's irresponsible of us to suggest that people do drugs, but
sure,
it's, yeah. But I, having gone through therapy and having to get on anti-anxiety medicine,
absolutely.
It's the same type of solution that you throw towards the problem of, like, this one is just clinically tested,
sure,
and driven through a pharmaceutical machine for a long time until you figure it out. Okay.
Yeah.
But this is, they're just taking a step outside of it. I think the cruelest part of the whole thing, though, is that after two sessions of psychotherapy, 15% participants will be treated with a single dose of psilocybin and 15 with a placebo.
Mm.
I think, You think you're signing up for the mushroom treatment, Matt. You think you're going to turn into Super Mario here.
Yeah.
And instead you're just like...
Dude, no wonder Super Mario was, like, never stressed out about the fact that, like, Peach kept getting kidnapped. He was just,
or
like,
that he was fighting a general, like, a giant dinosaur.
Yeah, he was just, like, on mushrooms.
Don't worry, I got fireballs,
yeah,
bro. It's,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That don't burn my hand somehow. When I touch a star, it makes music play.
Speaking of things not burning, okay, this is related because, look, what we're discovering is... they're using things like weed or marijuana for treatment of things like Parkinson's, right? They're realizing that these people who have these diseases, or like, even if you're having chemotherapy, which affects your diet, right? Like, they'll give you marijuana so that it encourages you to continue eating. It encourages somebody who has cancer who's going through treatment like that to continue eating. It builds up their appetite.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, with mushrooms, they're finding natural ways that are not synthetic or you know, created through some crazy chemical process in order to... And I'm not some crazy hippie, don't get me wrong. But I think it's amazing that we're finding natural solutions to problems that humans have, right? Like, there's things in this world and on our planet that can treat us naturally, right?
You know what you
I
don't,
also
you don't
think
find
like
in,
medicine, vaccines, things like that, very important, very good.
But what you don't find in nature is a freaking, you know, OLED screen on an internet machine,
absolutely,
that connects you to every answer,
yeah,
ever. And so, like, the balance of ways that you're going to offset that is bonkers. And so, yeah, sometimes it's going to be from things that are right in front, maybe like before these, the earth could balance,
yeah,
itself by having humans find other natural methods,
sure,
to synthesize their problems.
And
out
now
with.
Look, I'm not Joe Rogan. Like, go take real medicine. Like, if you have, you know,
illness. Don't even worry about doctoring. Don't even tell people what, like, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're, but like, but I think it's
not
cool
about that. It's about being open-minded.
The reason I'm astounded is because, like, between, you know, obviously the psilocybin treatment for trauma and marijuana treatment for all of these other kinds of conditions, we're going to continue to find ways that we're underutilizing drugs that have existed for ages, right? At the same time, I just saw this thing, and we've known as an American culture especially, but as a planet, as a people, that things like hemp, like the fibers that come from those plants, are extremely strong. And I just recently read, and I don't have a link to it, but like, I just recently saw that they had created a building material out of hemp fiber that was fire resistant. And so maybe that's what the bees were using. I don't know. Maybe was it put together with bee glue? Like, that could have been it.
Maybe.
Yeah, but I just think it's amazing that we're continuing to find new uses for plants that have existed forever, obviously.
Well, once we stop, you know, stereotyping them around people crossing a border and,
sure,
tie that, you can't have any of that because of those people. That's like a ridiculous behavior to, like, shoot yourself in the foot just because you're trying to control humans. But that's the existence of humanity for hundreds of thousands of years.
We don't want anybody crossing the border with weed. But hey, my 16-year-old son can smoke it in our backyard.
So, interesting stuff. Now, unfortunately, we have to turn this thing a little bit dark because we're running out of time. And so I'd like to bring up why we're all left. There's no shortage of reasons to be freaked out. But this week, it's AI making weapons of the future. So I guess the F could stand for feet per second, how fast you can shoot stuff.
No, the F stands for future, and it's terrifying.
Artificial intelligence, I guess, can outperform humans at a lot of things, whether it's calculations. They're finding a ton of new drugs by searching, using, you're just trying to break down number calculations. If you count it to a million, you're slower. Your brain can only process so fast. If you put AI and you put a fast enough computer in it, it can do it in seconds. Same type of thing. You break down calculations like that to make this happen. So
you said the AI is discovering new drugs when we're like, the AI is just like, just try the mushrooms.
Have you considered that thing that's growing in outside of your son's bedroom? Yeah. Oh, that's why it's so stinky. Yeah, oh, weird. Yeah, yeah. But maybe that'll be the thing, is it'll be like, oh, actually, psilocybin is the best out of all these options, and we did all the calculations, and mm-hmm. the danger is being left behind by the machines. That's kind of what I'm getting at here. So artificial intelligence can outperform humans at designing futuristic weapons. And we're not talking about like from scratch. They're not like coming up with a, if only you had a taco ray, because
have you tried a pig cannon?
The machines have been playing Minecraft too much. But like, say you have an idea for like a death ray and it overheats too much when you're out like lasering stuff. So you're like, hey, I got it. Let's build a space station and put the death ray on there. And like, well, what are some of the logistical problems? Well, AI can look at the best bet for cooling solutions. It's the Death Star is obviously the solution that it comes up with. George Lucas already got there himself or whatever. But it can handle these like small solutions because you can try out a million different scenarios faster than humans can try out a million different scenarios to improve upon it. So if you have a deadline, you can go through a lot more options with AI or machine learning than you could through just normal human learning, where we're dumb and you have to, you know, feed and rest that stupid brain in order for it to continue to work, whereas the machine continues going as long as you provide it with power. I think that this is truly, truly horrifying, because someone's going to be like, okay, the bad guys, whoever that is, use this type of armor, but we can shoot something super small, super fast right through it as long as it's the right material. Mm-hmm. To get just through whatever it is that the armor is made out of, and just keep trying things until you find, oh, it turns out it is tacos. Like, fire away. You know, like, that's the scary part, is how fast we'll be able to calculate taking apart the other people.
Yeah. I wonder if you end up with something like the only thing that's saved our asses so far, which is the mutually assured destruction, right? Like the idea that if you were to launch a nuclear attack, if a superpower were to launch a nuclear attack on another superpower, that other superpower would have enough time to launch a nuclear attack on you, therefore starting, you know, a chain of nuclear events across the planet, destroying life on Earth as we know it, right? Now, that's why I hope that something like this, I just don't know why we go from like, hey, we have artificial intelligence and it's going to help us design futuristic things. What should we start with? I don't know, weapons?
Where's all the budget at?
It's like, why not? Like, let's figure out how to grow food for people who live in places where there's no food. I know we're doing that in some way, shape or form, but to apply like the government's budget to something like how do we kill people rather than how do we take care of the people on the planet seems just about American.
It's everybody.
Of course,
Americans. Yeah. It's whoever has the power. Right now, we're one of the top, and so I'm sure all the other countries are doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can provide you with what you're saying, Brandon. I can actually meet you there with why don't we try and find something else to do. There's another fun game that soon you'll be beaten at by children and now by robots. It's Pokemon.
Oh.
A programmer built a bot that can analyze the likely scenarios and beat 95% of all humans. You just give it time
Pokemon.
And it'll... At Pokemon, okay. Yeah. You give it enough time and this thing's going to be, you know, at the top of everything. Go was the game. G-O, Go, is like the Chinese game. I think its origins are in China or in
so.
India.
Yeah.
Where it's like the most common game in the world, where it's just all little black and white tiles, and I understand it 0%, but like the best Go players in the world could be beaten by a machine now. The best chess players in the world can be beaten by a machine now. Why not get beaten by the robots? I guess it brings us back to a question that you asked at the top of the show, Brandon. What do you know that without a doubt you are better at than a robot? Do you have anything?
I don't think I do. I've like racked my, I mean, I'm like procreating, but apparently now they've made a robot that can replicate, which we did not talk about last week, but we probably should talk about. I don't know if I have an answer to that, because at this point I just assume, they always say like every time that you think you're good at something, just understand that there's like a poor kid in some other country that's way better at it than you are, you know? And so
without the opportunity.
So I just assume at this point that anything that I can do, there's probably already a robot developed to do it better. Now, I would say like, oh, I'm better at comedy than a robot, but you showed me that artificially or the procedurally generated Netflix horror movie, and I realized, no, I'm not.
That was, but there's a two-way thing with that. That's the exact thing I thought of, where I was like, listen, whether you think I'm funny or not, I can write jokes better than a computer. Computers don't have the emotional connection to be able to understand how to get a joke across with the right sensitivity about a subject. There's just not, it doesn't. And then that Netflix comes out, it's a horror movie written by a machine, and it's hilarious. But I find that it's only hilarious because it touches on my sense of humor.
Sure.
That I think if someone else, like my parents, or I mean, they're dead, so it'd be weird if they watched it. But like if my wife watched it, she'd be like, this is really
so stupid.
I don't. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, well, if you show it to a person with a stupid sense of humor, it works, I guess.
Yeah.
Whereas I can say charming things to any office that I go into and get a smile out of people. Like that's that the machines can't quite do yet.
Wow, Brack. I think that the fact that you know that a computer came up with it, and you know you can understand the references that were fed into the algorithm that outputted the joke, or not even a joke, because it wasn't meant to be funny, right? It was meant to be a, you know, quote unquote horror film. So you can understand the reference. That's what makes it funny, right? Is like, oh, aren't computers dumb? You know, it's the problem is going to be is when that procedurally generated content ends up being good and like nominated for, you know, awards, and is creating content better than or the same as humans are creating, right? And I think that still you have to understand that humans are developing these algorithms, humans are developing these machines that are
not for much longer,
but that's the thing, is now we've talked about AI is developing AI in order to be faster and better and more efficient.
And to think ways that we can't, that our brains can't process.
Exactly.
Now, I have no experience with AI. Every time I talk about it, someone always inevitably goes, you overestimate how good this stuff is. And I'm like, but conceptually...
For now,
Yeah, conceptually I don't, because I understand long-term that it's... Machines are going to evolve separate from us, man. We're going to be left behind.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, humans are going to be this cute old thing, and the machines are going to go their own. Like, we could, I think, theoretically diverge from one another, and the AI could go off and do its own thing and leave the universe and go to the next multiverse or whatever and exist there, while we're still here being like, no, that's my piece of dirt.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you for it.
Yeah.
Or like, no, that's you can't have hemp over here, so you're going to jail.
No, well, and not to bring whales into this, right?
Yeah, right. Except
but
for...
to definitely bring whales into this.
Yeah.
I've talked about on the show before about how large let's take a sperm whale's
whale penis.
Yeah, a whale penis is. Specifically a sperm whale penis. No, a sperm whale or a blue whale's brain or a humpback whale's brain is like the size of a stand upright piano. Right. And about how what we know about the way that brains work is that we use for what we understand that a brain is actually doing. We know that a brain does a lot, but we only know specifically about what certain parts of the brain are doing, so that we understand that only like 10% of the brain is being used. Right.
Yeah. We can only monitor like 10%
sure.
of it being active at a time.
Yeah. And so then not to say the rest of the brain isn't doing something, it's just we don't exactly know what it's doing. The same way they understand the human brain, they assume that the brain of a large whale, right? If it's only using a portion of that brain, but the vast amount of more neurons and connectors, things like that they have, they must be, and from what we understand about how they process language and sounds and thing in like their senses, we know that they must be incredibly intelligent, perceptive creatures, right? And to think that you take animals that we know are smarter than us, like to see them beat Halo. We know that these animals that we know that are smarter than us, but then you exponentially increase that, and that's like the AI that created that Netflix thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so stupid, but at the same time, like, this is just the start. And maybe whales are the things that are going to leave the universe and to go into the multiverse. And if they have the means, them and the AI are going to team up. Or, like, what was it in South Park? The cows were the actual, like, leaders of the of the planet.
Moo, 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 moo. That was so long ago.
I know.
That was, like, 19 years ago that that happened. Isn't that crazy?
It's insane.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, we just talked a lot about the doom and gloom of what's going to happen, right? But, you know, something positive to balance it all out. At the current rate of growth, if we keep building solar power facilities, we could be 100% sun-powered by as soon as 2030, says Bloomberg.com. That's, like, not even a decade from now. Meanwhile, green plants are like, yeah, what did you think we were doing this whole time? And the rest of Earth, for that matter. I think it's wild to see the shift has happened that fast. And I wish, you talked about investing in Bitcoin. Why didn't we invest in freaking solar, dude? It's like, maybe it's not too late now. I don't know.
It's crazy. Like, the I watched a video on, like, what would happen if they covered the Sahara Desert in solar powers. Or in
you ought to read the Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. They do that in that book.
Oh, really? Well, the problem ends up being that the amount of resources that are needed in order to create the panels and everything that you need in order to capture that energy, like, it takes a while to offset, right? But to think about the fact, like, you have to start. So it's not like there's some terminal end where it's like, well, it's not going to be worth it because, you know, I mean, there is a terminal end to the planet, to our lives, to literally everything. But we don't have necessarily the specific knowledge of when that's going to be. But because we are driven by what we can accomplish in our own lives and what we can see the benefit of in our own lives, we don't do things that are going to be better for the, like, future centuries of humans, right? And so while it would maybe not offset itself in the next 100 of years, you know, start it now so that eventually it is offsetting itself and starting to earn back some of the terrible things that we've done to the planet.
Yeah, it's the idea that we would actually be solar neutral, you know, by 2030 is a long shot. Specifically, I'm seeing people saying that solar's already dead because of personalized hydrogen, which is like...
Is that like those suits that they wear in Dune, where if you, like, fart, it turns into moisture and you can continue to, like, live on the planet?
I'm on Futurology on Reddit, and it's coming soon. Rooftop hydrogen, rooftop solar is passé. The upcoming thing is rooftop hydrogen. Demand for hydrogen is expected to grow by a factor of 1,000 or more by 2030. Convenient timeline.
Yeah, seriously.
And decentralized systems producing the gas on site with no transportation costs will make a huge difference. H2O, that's one hydrogen, two oxygens.
Yeah.
I don't know anything, obviously, but, like, I still worry when people say, like, no, no, hydrogen is clean energy. We'll take that hydrogen and then leave those two O's and don't worry about that. Like, at some point, don't we end up with a bunch of, like, rogue oxygen then? And then we have another problem?
We're going to be, like, completely hypoxic atmosphere in, like, by 2030. Don't worry. We won't be using any more energy because we will have sucked all of the oxygen or all of the hydrogen out of the air and everybody will be lightheaded and die.
I would say, once again, the solution to all of this is more trees. Like, we just need more of the stuff that already grows here. Let's make sure that sticks around.
Okay, Joe Rogan.
Well, then.
But speaking of the sun, though, did you see that the most detailed photo of the sun ever taken? Did you see that today?
No.
It's incredible. This is a radio show, so I can't, like, show people it or even describe it to the ability that would do it justice, but a solar photographer, actually, he's just he takes pictures of space, right? He took over, like, 250 different photos at different exposures of the sun through two different high-powered telescopes, and it's actually an incredible photo.
Is his name Chuck?
I don't know, but it's still, it's a pretty fuzzy photo still, because it's taking pictures of the actual sun, but it's amazing to be able to see in action some of the solar solar flares that are happening and some of these like hot spots on the planet where there's a ton of energy and activity. I just thought it's amazing, like these much more detailed, more and more detailed photos that we're getting over time. And apparently there's a monolith on the moon that the Chinese are going to start to drive a rover over to. So
I'm on the wrong part of the internet today. Oh, it's back to the back to that porn thing you were accusing me of earlier.
Yeah,
that's gotta be
HJs.
Wait, what did you call it? It was the when the condors were doing it?
Asexually reproducing.
Yeah, there you go. I've been too busy doing that.
I mean, I can't see your lower half.
Okay, Joe Rogan. He's all upper body, right?
I'm pretty sure. Like, all 5'4" of them.
Well, we've gone way over time, yeah. And that's fine because this is the Wild West, the frontier of this type of technology. Thanks for joining us on the Odyssey app. It's time to wrap this thing up and tell me, what did we learn this week? After all, this is a pretty heady show. Brandon, what did you learn this week?
I learned that you have been too busy asexually reproducing. Gregor, what did you learn this week?
That Brandon only mentioned whales twice today.
You know what? I'm getting better. Oh, I saw this sick like porcelain piece of art. It's a humpback. It's amazing. I'll actually send you a link because I think you'd think it was cool.
Brandon, what did you learn today?
I learned that one of us should run for Pharaoh and stick it to Courtney Singleton, who told me I shouldn't use punctuation on AIM.
I think you should continue to use the whale emoji, though.
Absolutely. I was about to make a joke, and then I remembered. Never mind. Is it going to be a your mom joke?
Well, done.
Yeah. I was going to say, Gregor, what did we learn this week?
I don't think I learned much more than that.
You learned that Brandon's an asshole. Nerd talk,
talking about nerd talk, yeah! Tuesdays, 10 a.m., we go live on the Odyssey app for Nerd Talk Plus. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great day.
Bye.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.